based upon the music that's playing, I'm ready for a casket, like, to be rolled up front. Do you guys feel that way? It's coming up, but I want you to know a big part of the reason that's being done is we keep getting flagged on, like, social media, Facebook Live, and for, you know, playing things that we don't have the right to play, which we buy a license and all that, our church does, but it's funny, we've been a few times shut down. Sony's shut one of our messages down and said, yeah, and I don't know what that is. I'm like, man, I don't know if the music was so tight it matched theirs, but everything we do, we got copyright license for, but usually they put it right back on after you can test it a little bit, but that's why that plays a little bit. We got to find something that they don't want to keep shutting us down, like shutting the door. So funeral music will do it. That'll shut anybody down, right? Nehemiah chapter 12. Hey, when I was giving announcements, I was so hung up on the ask coming up that I forgot to mention again the Harrisonville missions trip. The Harrisonville missions trip to Harrisonville, Missouri, coming up. We always take, you know, we'd love to have 15 good people to go on this trip to do their children's ministry while they have a Bible conference. So the signups are back there. And listen, I got something for you on this. I've never had anybody go on this trip that just said, man, that was terrible. Terrible! I'm never going again. Most people enjoy it. The fellowship is always good, and yet it is hard work. It's work. You got to be there during the day, several of the days, and then at nighttime. It's kind of like our VBS. That's kind of what it is. But what I would like to do is I would like to put out an invite. Some of you have already been there. You do a great job. It's nice to have a veteran. That way they know what's going on. I'd like to put an invite. Can I get 5 people that's never been there to say, I'll do that? I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed. 5 people that would just say, I've never been there and I'm going to do that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands or nothing, but I want God to deal in your heart. But and for a first missions trip, you know, it might be a good one to do your first trip with them. So I'm just putting the word out there. So, and I think that's it. Bo, anything else on there?
Jeff, there's a meeting next Sunday right after church, right?
Yep.
Is that a lunch meeting?
Yes.
So next Sunday right after church, there'll be a meeting.
Okay, we'll have lunch and talk. So, hey, that would be a meeting to go to. If you're even doubting it, you want to, but you got a few little quirks, you don't know why, or work needs another, I need expo. Go. And Jeff will lay all that out and say, here's how it's going to look. So, okay, Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. I cannot tell a lie. Well, up here, that is. Man, these last several chapters have been really kind of difficult. And mainly because there's 30, 45 verses, and 75% of it is names. God does that for a reason. Every name counts, every name matters, right? When John chapter 20 tells us that every word God hand chooses to put in the scriptures, if everything was written about Christ, the world itself couldn't contain the books. So we know that God hand selected every word. So the very fact that you got your name in here is pretty intense. Most usually for the good, but sometimes there's some negative in here too. And which, you know, I look and just say, man, God says there's a book of life. If you meet Jesus Christ, your name gets written. And we want our name there, don't we? And when he reads off that list of names, I always think that when I'm at a graduation ceremony, the worst thing in the world is to sit there for 2 hours in a sweaty, smelly gym, and they just announce names of, and you're like, most of these people, I don't even know. I don't even care. And that's why when they tell you, hold your applause to the end, they mention somebody you know, and I'm just like, you know, you just got to, because you've been sitting there like, this is ridiculous. And I always thought, you know what, if this was heaven, and the books were opened up, and God was listening to the names of people getting in, I bet I wouldn't be acting this way. You know, I couldn't wait to hear my name read off, you know, but I'd be like, yeah, yeah, they're in, they made it, that's amazing, you know. So as I'm reading all these names, it's really incredibly difficult to find sometimes a clean outline. And so I'm just praying and trusting the Spirit of God that he just uses these chapters. And I've heard good things from people. People have said, man, it has been good. God has spoken to me. So really, really thankful for that. Thankful for you. We're about done with Nehemiah. We're rounding the corner, you know. We're really rounding it. So so we're in Nehemiah chapter 12. I'm not quite sure. It says in verse 1, now these are the priests and the Levites that went up with Zerubbabel. So guys, we know that there was three groups of people of Israel. We know the story of Nehemiah, right? But even before this, that their temple was destroyed. So God led Zerubbabel to lead a group of people to rebuild the temple. And that's the book of Ezra. And then Ezra chapter 7, we find Ezra comes in. And there's another group of people, and he goes and starts building the people. So they got the house of God built. And then Nehemiah's been really about building the walls, which has been really been pretty spectacular, how this all took place, right? So he goes and looks at the city. I mean, they pray. He takes people with him, and all of a sudden they start putting the gates in place. And because they're not a bona fide city, they're still under enemies' kind of threat. This is God. This is the promised land. This is the place they were supposed to be. And so they built walls of, like, if you want to call it, protection around that and all around the promised land. And then we've been reading last couple weeks, they've been putting people in places. And nobody was really in the city of Jerusalem, hardly. And that's what we've been focused on lately, is the repopulation of the city. And so, and by the way, Israel, I think maybe similar to our history, you know how it is as you grow, God gets a hold of your life. And it's so fantastic. And then you experience this. That's not so fantastic. You don't realize it's fantastic. But you're doing this, the ebbs and flows, you know. Things are not always the greatest. And that's why they reached a spot where they need to repopulate the cities. And people willingly offered, some to go inside the city, and some, they're like, we got to cast lots. Because nobody's volunteering. That's why I love the blessing. Did you like that, where they bless the people that willingly went in? There's a blessing when you will willingly say, I'll pay the price. It's not necessarily that I want to do that. I'll do, you know. And a lot of people just say, I'm not sure it's God's will for me to be in there. Well, how about we cast lots and tell you it's God's will? And that's really, there's a point there, a principle there, by the way. And they went. They went at that point and said, okay, there's a need here and we're going to go. And so we see this, and it continues into chapter 12. But he goes back and he says, now the priests and the Levites that went up with Zerubbabel, and he starts mentioning these priests and these Levites. And he mentions them, and he even gets to the end there in verse 26, where he says, these were in the days of Joachim, the son of Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, in the days of Nehemiah the governor, and of Ezra the priest, the scribe. All three folks are mentioned that really led these big groups of people back. Now, in verse 27, here's where the thrust of the message is going to kick in today. It says, and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all the places to bring them to Jerusalem, to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country, round about Jerusalem, and from the villages of Netoph. That place. And it says they, you know, it says they were part of those villages. But verse 29, it says, and from the house of, and it mentions all this. And then at the end of 29, it says, they had builded them villages round about Jerusalem. And so verse 30 says, the priests and the Levites purified themselves, purified the people and the gates and the wall. So here's what we got going. Everybody, it's kind of, there's a census, but yet a repopulation. People put in place all around Jerusalem and in Jerusalem, right? This is where you go. And we've seen this when Joshua entered the promised land. He took the nations and here's what we're going to do. You guys are here. Here's your territory. And he put everybody where they needed to go. And so here, when God's, the promised land is still lacking on people of the promise, right? And so here, and I feel the same way sometimes as the church, as we ebb and flow. Sometimes, where's the people of the promise, man? The people, and so guess what? We repopulate. That's what we do. We grow. We go at it again. And even in mess ups and failures, and we confess it and we move forward. That's what we do. Like Peter, we continue knocking, man. We don't give up that easily. And so this is a good chapter where, you know, he starts putting things in place. And then he says, okay, now the dedication of the wall. They're actually going to consecrate the work that had been done for the Lord. They're going to a lot of times a dedication in the Bible, like in 2 Chronicles 7, when they dedicated the altar, they had a feast for 7 days, man. They put together a festival. They really celebrated this thing. So a lot of times the dedication can be connected with a feast. So they're going to dedicate the wall. You know, we've all been to different dedications in our life, you know, whether it's a memorial for soldiers, I've been to those type of things. But a lot of times, you know what they are? A lot of times, you know, dedications that you go to, they're just a little bit, man, like, wow. You know, everybody's hoping is that baby's getting dedicated. They're like, man, I hope that baby whizzes up there in front of everybody. So, you know, at least there's some excitement here, right? Well, dedications in the Bible, let me tell you, it was no small thing. And I wanted to point this out because of this. Do you realize when Solomon built the first temple, that they had a major dedication? It was massive. Like hundreds of animals sacrificed. Everybody got gifts. They celebrated this thing because, you know, they've been carrying a tabernacle around in tents and setting it up, and now they had a permanent place. And so I love this where they dedicate. Solomon does this big, he throws a massive party. That's what he does. A massive party because look what God's done. This is where he's going to meet with us. This is the place to sacrifice. This is the place where the Levites are going to be able to minister. The priesthood will be able to do their job. And so when Ezra and Zerubbabel and Ezra go back in the book of Ezra, they rebuilt the temple, right? Because the one that Solomon built, you know, like close to 500 years before that, it got beat up, got tore up. So when Ezra comes in, everybody hold your finger here in Nehemiah, but go back to Ezra, the book before this. And look in the book of Ezra what happens. Go to Ezra chapter 3. In Ezra chapter 3, it says down in verse 11, and they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. See, you can see the foundation's laid, and it's a cause for celebration. It's a cause for excitement, right? And so they go forward with it. Look at verse 12. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers that were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice and they shouted aloud, and many shouted aloud for joy. It says in verse 13, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of the joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout and the noise was heard afar off. So the problem is, there were people that had a glimpse, and they remembered that first temple. So now, a good thing's taking place. God has laid on their heart, and they're going to rebuild this thing, and they laid the foundation. And man, all these people are like, they're just flipping excited about it. But there were some that remembers the old one. And they said, this ain't so good. Because they were comparing, you know. And so we know, the hard part about this, you can take several lessons from that. The biggest lesson I want to give us is here we are in Nehemiah, and they rebuilt the walls, and they celebrated. The walls. We're not talking about the house of God. We're not talking about the temple. You don't find some massive celebration in history when the walls were put around Jerusalem. Because the main thing was the temple, for sure, right? The place where God was going to meet them. And so as they're rebuilding, they put these walls up. And man, it was a massive task that they did in a small amount of time. Like, it was pretty impressive. And I like the very fact that they're just like, you know what we're going to do today? Today is going to be the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. That's what we are going to dedicate. We are going to have a feast, and we're going to have a celebration for these walls. Here's the point, I think, that God is maybe sharing with you and me. Guys, these walls going up was serious business. It's making them like a bona fide city. It's going to offer them some protection. Remember all the gates that were in the walls? There was the dung gate. This is the place where you take the waste out of the city. Don't let that stuff lay around. It'll get poisoned, right? I mean, all these gates, fountain gates, I mean, there was beautiful gates, a war gate, all these things was in place in the walls. And so there was kind of an infrastructure of how this thing is going to really work. And so they put a walls down. I think really a part of it was just being walls of protection. And so I guess I would like to point this out and this morning that I think I see a problem. And a problem I see here is, unlike the first, the house of God, the temple, when they come back, and some people are like, it's not as good as the first one. Well, we got something going on here. That's all said and done. That's now in the past, and they put up the walls. And I guess I would like to just say this. We need to be better at celebrating the right things and the smaller things. I've learned something. We celebrate what we value, don't we? We celebrate what we value. Everybody always goes crazy when somebody hits a home run. If you look at batting averages, especially on higher levels of play, you look and you're just like, my gosh. If you really look at the stats and look at batting averages, you know what we need to do? We need to value more the single, man. Somebody getting on base. That's massive. That's huge, isn't it? It's easy to do the fireworks and grand slam, the bases were loaded and somebody hit a home run. Let's celebrate that. That's crazy, isn't it? But let me tell you what wins. It's kind of like if you play chess. So most people would just say, oh, them are just pawns. Many a games are won with those pieces. They strategically take the middle of that board. They set everything else up. And that's, I love it, man. Sometimes you'll play with somebody and they're looking at your big, sexy pieces on the board. And they make a move and all of a sudden you're like, I guess he didn't see that little pawn. Bink! You know, Let's celebrate some of the smaller things. Let me share something with you about dedications in Scripture. Because here's a dedication. They grab the people together, and it says it was singing and thanksgiving, cymbals, all this stuff. So they gathered all these singers, right? They're going to do this thing up really big. So first of all, there's the things in the Bible that are really dedicated. Like you find like the altar is dedicated back in Numbers chapter 7. They dedicate the altar. The house of God, it started in 1 Kings 8 with Solomon. Then in Ezra, they had a dedication for the house of God once they relaid it and rebuilt it, right? The house of God. The wall around the city that we find right in this context, that's something that's meant, we're going to dedicate this. You know, to dedicate it would be like, we're going to consecrate it. We're going to separate this, man. That's what we're going to do. We're going to dedicate this and put it off to the side. Do you remember in Daniel chapter 3? Well, more than that chapter, that's just where it kind of pops up, is all of a sudden, you know, they put this Babylon, this big image up, and they're like, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to have a big dedication to the image, and we're going to pipe some music in, we're going to serve some great food, and everybody's going to come and bow down before it. Why? Because it was a big deal. It was a big deal. Of course, that was not God's people. But God's people were supposed to bow down to that image. Of course, they refused to. But you just still see it's a big part. It's like, why didn't the world become upset with these guys? Because they wouldn't dedicate, they wouldn't consecrate what the world does. Ain't that crazy? You know, here it's God's wall. People are like, are these lunatics? God's people over there dedicating the wall. You know, it's a wall. You know, but everybody else and what the world values, even though it might look bigger, it might be fancier, it might be sexier. Like in Daniel, he's like, we will not bow to that image. We ain't showing up to that dedication. People do it all the time. Christians do. We're like, well, it means a lot to them. Well, it depends. Well, I tell you, if it was an idol in somebody's life, I would not necessarily be the guy to stand there and do that. And I can tell you some stories on that if you ever want to hear any. But also in Deuteronomy, it says if a guy builds a house and he's newly married and war kicks off, they say, hey, dude, sit still. Don't go to war. Dedicate your house first and your marriage. And, you know, because it's a great possibility you get killed in battle. Is your seed going to be able to be carried on? You need to stay with your wife, right? And so it talks about dedicating your personal house, too. So I like that word in Scripture. And that's a handful of things you find in the Bible that's really dedicated. We always want to make, you know, spiritual application of that, because a lot of those things are physical things, right? So what we celebrate, what we would cause, have a feast over, what we would party for, that says a lot about us. So I want to give you a couple things here that the Bible speaks about that we should do at dedication time. Notice here in Nehemiah chapter 12, it says that they wanted to dedicate this thing, and it says, but they wanted to, it says to keep the dedication with what? With gladness, with thanksgiving, right? With singing, with cymbals, with harps, with all those things. So if you look back in the book of Ezra, when they dedicated the house of God, they didn't use the word gladness. They used the word, we need to do this with joy. So these are basically dedications and consecration should be, it's about happiness, joy, gladness. And guys, it might just be a wall. You know, and sometimes they pull the sheet and what is it? Oh my gosh, it's the Statue of Liberty. That's amazing. Yeah, that's a great. And so sometimes we lose it on the smaller things in life, right? So I think what God is prompting me to do here is just say, man, what do you consecrate in your life? What do you celebrate and what do you value? So many times I see the negative. So what's the things, and I think we need to come to the table with this, with gladness and with joy. We need to be a church that knows how to party. We know how to celebrate. And some of you, you got saved, man. And we celebrated, right? Because heaven celebrates when people get saved. So earth should throw a party too. The problem after that happens is there's sometimes smaller stages of growth and we forget to celebrate. Or for you, it don't seem like a big deal. But it was for her. It was for him. There was a relationship that got broken. And they had been plagued their whole lives by this group of people. And this lady that got saved, finally, you know what she did? She separated herself. And she sanctified herself for the Lord. And all of a sudden, she put that guy off. She put these people off. Those are times where we're like, that's incredible. Yeah, there's sadness. I know you're crying right now. Dude, that's amazing. Let's celebrate. Years ago when our church was smaller, I always liked having baptisms because after baptisms, we just ate together. You know, we'd have a feast and we need to do that. That's what we need to do about little things. So dedication should bring gladness to you and me, some sort of happiness and joy. You know, another thing often you find at dedications is you find offerings were given. And in Numbers, we find when the altar was being dedicated, everybody brought their offerings for the altar. When the house of God in Ezra 6, they dedicated the house of God. They said they did it with offerings. So you'll find the word offering pop up quite a bit on this. So basically, when we dedicate the things in our life, these would be things that, you know what, they real joy, real happiness. Let's do this with gladness. This should be another thing we should say is what we value, what you're willing to party for. It's what you're willing to give to. It's what you're willing to sacrifice for. That's how you can always tell what a guy or a girl values. Let's see where your time goes. And somebody would say, I know your God right now. I've got it pinpointed right now. I see it. And it's easy. So what makes you happy? Glad? What brings joy in your life? What brings you, what are you willing to give and sacrifice for? And the third thing I see in dedications, not just gladness and happiness, but what you'll give and offer, what you'll be willing to offer for. And guys, and I'm telling you, when them four guys got saved, you know what it proved to me? A church that we're struggling to keep our budget. That's no, if it is a secret, it's no secret now. We're not doing so great. And then we had a party. And people gave. And is it because people value parties? I don't think so, because most of you weren't there. A lot of you ladies did. It was a kind of a men's deal for the football team. And you gave anyways. You know why? Because you value ministry. You value souls. I think that's exactly why God had four men respond to the gospel. I think he did that just to let us know as a church that God values that, and you value that too. And it proved it. It was really pretty incredible. The last thing I want to mention are the three things that you'll notice at dedications, that you can recognize them, you can see them as happiness, giving, sacrifice. There's always music, and every good party needs to have a DJ, right? There has to be music going on. And so you'll see this probably more than one thing in the Bible. There's always music. And in Nehemiah chapter 12, there's two words that keep popping up over and over and over and over again here. And it's thanksgiving and it's singers. Those two things, they keep popping up a chunk of the time through this book. You start reading, you're like, it'll give a list of names like the singers and the chief of the singers, and they did this and they did this, and they were for the praising. You know, so I just want you to know, music's important. What you'll turn on music for, man, right? What you'll get after it with. Yes, because we celebrate these things. Turn up the music, man. These are happy times, right? Man, and it's special. Now, there's something pretty cool here. If you want to, this is a great principle, because, you know, once walls are built, walls have to be maintained, right? All of us homeowners know that, right? The house of God, same thing. It's built and it's good, but guess what? You got to have a maintenance budget, right? Things are going to go bad, so you got to. So what we find is Israel, in their battles, they would go and whatever spoils and treasures they would find from other nations, sometimes God would tell them to leave that garbage. Sometimes they were able to take the spoils. And like in 1 Chronicles 26:27, it says they took these spoils, and when they brought them back, they didn't split them amongst each other and fill their pockets. They put it all in the middle and says, we are dedicating this for the maintenance of the house of God. See, once again, they were showing what they valued, because this is what they were going to dedicate it for. We're consecrating this money to maintain God's house. I say that passage in 1 Chronicles 26 to bring up a famous verse. All parents in this room that have been saved for a couple years, you know Proverbs 22:6, which says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he won't depart, right? Train up a child in the way he should go. When people have babies, a lot of times they want to dedicate them to the Lord. So they have a precious little child. We've done it in here, in our other church building. We've done it quite a bit too. And people just want to bring their baby up, and they just want to say, you know, we dedicate this baby, we consecrate it for Jesus, for eternity, right? This is our most valuable possession in our hands, and we're going to dedicate it to the Lord. And that's what they're saying. And then after, you know, I dedicate and pray for the baby, and usually I lean over and just say, I think he pooped his pants. You know, this dedicated special thing is in a mess right now. Somebody's got to do something about it. And, of course, that's the parent's responsibility. We've always said through the years we should quit calling, like, you know, baby dedications. It's parent dedications. It's a church dedication where we say, hey, this child's going to grow up around us, and we're going to make sure that that the kingdom of God is high priority here. When we see this child wavering, I don't care who you are, we'll speak up, I'll say something, we'll go for the rescue. You know, it takes a village to raise a child, you know. But anyways, I use that passage in Proverbs 26 because did you know, when you study in Hebrew, the very Hebrew word that means consecration and dedication, it's the same exact word that we use in Proverbs 26 for our children, 22:6. Train up. It's the same. It's the part of the same family. It boils down to the same word, which to me is pretty fantastic because it tells us this. The house of God, it's a great thing. The walls put up, but guess what? We value them so much, there's going to have to be maintenance done. And so it's very similar. So just because we dedicate something, you know, that's why, isn't it heartbreaking? And please don't tell me it's not. If you're one of those people, I'm going to give you another church to go to. You know, through history, we've had people that have made a great impact, men and women, on our country. They've done some great, incredible things. And so we've set memorials up and statues of these things all over the nation, everywhere, right? And we do this as a consecration, like as a dedication. We're like, man, this is awesome. And now we have a group of people that are like, we need to tear that statue down. Why? Well, did you know that guy, he did this. He was this. We're not like worshiping the guy. It's part of our history. And it's crazy. As crazy as this guy was, it's kind of like Count Dracula. When I mention Count Dracula, some people would be like, is that chocolate cereal? Well, kind of, but no. Is it real? Yeah, Count Dracula was totally real. And anytime we talk about vampires, they're kind of like, you know, we'd look at them like evil people, you know. I was in Brașov, Romania, and there was Dracula's castle that we got to go to and check it out. And the Romanians just think Count Dracula is awesome. And the reason why is there's been several times that they have been invaded by enemies, and Count Dracula took massive amounts of people that were their slaves anyway. And they're like, yeah, kill these people. Let's impale them on some posts and just put them on the ground all during on the road. Let's line the road up with these people on stakes. But what they do is they tar these people and light them. So these people would burn for hours. And there's been several counts, but where an enemy would come over the hill and they're getting ready to take the city. And they would walk up and Dracula's castle's in the distance going that way. They were seeing hundreds of bodies on fire. And they were like, I think we should go around this place. And they were scared and they did. And so, like, sometimes, you know, most people would say, Count Dracula, that was an evil guy. Well, the city of Brașov would say, he's our hero. We wouldn't be here today, probably, if it wasn't for some of the shenanigans. So it's the same way with some of our things we look at in history. We're not putting things up to say it's an idol. We're not going to bow down and worship this guy. And yes, this guy has some shady things. This girl had some shady things in her past. But, you know, these are things that we should say, hey, man, these are special to us. They paint a great picture. And so I think this dedication of the wall that's going on here, it's not just a one and done deal. Just remember that. It's going to need maintained, and it's just like your kids. There's times you just prayed and gave God your children. The problem is you've stopped. Don't stop. Train up. Stay after it. Just like they would dedicate all the spoils and say, this is for the maintenance of the house of God. Well, guess what? Your children and your fathering and your mothering, you know what it needs? Yet you dedicated your kids as babies to the Lord. Don't let go now that they're 13, man. Don't let go. They still need it. They still need the prayers. Get after it. You know how we're all as new parents, don't you read books? I read books, listen to anybody I could. How do you do this thing? It's like, and then all of a sudden they get out, they're able to talk now, and you're like, well, I don't need to read books anymore because I can just argue with this girl. And it's like we let go. I'm like, now it's time to say, you know what, a real dedication, a real consecration, you know what it is? It's ongoing. You know how many times I pray, and you'll hear me, you've heard me say this thousands of times. Jesus, thank you so much for giving your life for me. Because I've never got over it. The day I got saved and my life was changed, I've never got over it. So when somebody talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, somebody tells about a changed life, I'm reminded of my story. The Bible says this, that all of heaven rejoices when a sinner gets saved. There is a party. When does heaven party? When? Well, the Bible tells. It says when one sinner, Luke 15:10 says, there's joy in the presence of the angels when one sinner repents. There's a party thrown. That's why David said, yeah, God turned my mourning into dancing. So church, my question is, as we look at this Numbers chapter 12 and see, it seems like the walls, but guys, they're getting their act together. Like they're getting it together like God had always told them to. It's not perfect. They're still lacking people. There's still knuckleheads in the group. There's bad things. We're going to see it next week. There's some bad things here. But it's worth the dedication. It's worth the celebration. It's worth it. It's worth throwing a feast. It's something we should be happy about. It's something that we should offer and we should give and sacrifice for. It's something that we should say, would somebody turn on the music? Somebody crank up the tunes here, man. This was so worth it. So just want to let you know, in heaven, they rejoice when people get saved. We should do the same, shouldn't we? We should. When people get saved, we should just go absolutely berserko. We should go crazy. Football players met Jesus. Now they got to grow. And I'm not saying that. Let's celebrate and sing and let's dedicate this. And now we're after growth, right? We want to pursue that. But even when people get right with the Lord, remember the prodigal son story? This guy totally ripped his dad off and did nasty. This dude was nasty. And he came home busted and broken. And the dad says, hey, it's time to throw a party. What about him? Well, let's see kind of what he says first. Let's see his hard attitude. No, he jumped off that porch and met him out in the driveway. He just said, we are so glad you're back. Let's be a people that dedicates even the small things. You know, and sometimes it can just be little things that people would say or that people would do. And that's the things, like, celebrate that stuff. Why don't we celebrate that stuff more with our kids? We miss it. We miss the small things. Or in this text, they didn't miss the wall things, did they? It was important. We're going to dedicate this thing. This is serious business. That's exactly what they said, and they got after it. So we need to tell that to people. And when they say little things, or somebody just says, man, you ever have somebody just say, hey, I got something out of the Word this week, and then somebody shares it, like you're in tribe or whatever, and somebody will share it. And just to be honest, you're like, I don't get it. What in the world? Sometimes I'll be like, I think they're twisting that a little bit. I'm not sure it means that at all. You know, and before it's over, you miss it. I missed an opportunity to just say, I think that's maybe the first time I've heard you open up and just say, God spoke to me out of his word. I remember you 3 weeks ago saying, the Bible's boring, you're not getting anything out of it. That's incredible. God is speaking to you. God is opening up his word. And what do? Man, we're going to consecrate that moment and just say, isn't this fantastic? And I've had a few opportunities in history to do that at odd times, and especially in the coaching realm, you know, where you just get little moments where most people are just going to let slip by. And you get to go up and you get to make an impact. You get to celebrate the little things. You get to herald the player that just say, guys, I want you to know something. We're in tournament time and she didn't play one play of this game. And she cheered every one of you guys on. You know what? Let's celebrate right now. This is what she did, and she is so valuable to this team. I've always loved those moments as a coach. The moments where the pitcher's out there failing miserably, and they're in their head, and they can't get the ball across anymore, but you only need one more out, and what do? You get to call timeout of just you, and for me, it was girl softball, and I got to go as a coach and just say, hey, we are in a great moment here because you're a great pitcher. Well, I'm not doing good now. The bases are loaded. I get it. We all have bad games. But you know what? You get an opportunity now to push through. I need you to go one more out. And they want to be pulled out. Even parents are in the background probably thinking, what kind of coach is leaving them in? And then some point I'm just like, they're 10 years old. You know, what in the world? I'm not driving to California for the 10-year-old baseball tournament. You know, I'm just not going to do it, you know. But those moments out there where we say, it's celebration time. And then at the end of the game, yeah, we get out of the inning. You put a new pitcher in because you need to or you're going to lose the game bad. But then at the end of the game, you know what you do? You stand up your pitcher that seems to have failed. But in reality, they've pushed through difficulty. And you just say, let's celebrate this. This has been adversity. Do you know how many years it's been since we've had a wall around here? It's been a long time. Bring the singers in, man. Crank up the music. People started bringing in offerings and said, this is a day of gladness. And then when somebody just says, yeah, but what about so-and-so? It ain't pretty. Hey, shut up. It ain't about this right now. Look at where we're at. Let's just celebrate now. It's super important to do this. Did you know, so when people get right in the Bible, there's celebrations that take place. My favorite is probably whenever you see battles won. Every time there's a battle, a little or big battle, you know, even the King David danced so wildly crazy when he got back from winning a battle. Do you remember people are like, how would the king be vile like this? How could a guy shake it like that out in public, you know? They didn't know about twerking, but David did it. And he did it because he was so excited. You know how it is. That's what makes the best dances. It's not the fanciest guy out there on the floor, the girl that's got all the smooth moves. It's the guy or the girl that has the most passion, man. Everybody sit back, man. That girl is on fire, man. Let's watch her burn, you know? That's what it is. So as a church, let's be like this in Nehemiah chapter 12. It's just walls. Let's celebrate. This was incredible. Hey, some of you have made some great strides this year. We've missed them. And my bad. We missed, and it's little things, I know. But it's those little things that make it, man. That maybe we need to stay after that stuff and keep consecrating those moments. And like here, this wall for the Lord. Hey, I got a couple things working in here, and I want to show you something. Go in Nehemiah chapter 12, you know, it mentions all these singers and giving thanksgiving. And I want to give props to our musicians in the room. But before I do that, I want to point you to another verse. It says in verse 31, it says this. Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall, and I appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks. Whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate. And then if you keep reading, it'll tell you that the other group, that they went down towards the other. Look at verse 38. And the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them. So these are the two companies. I just need to point something out here because there's a chunk of verses that cover this. The word appointed is a good word in the Bible, but these are people that when you appoint, like you appoint somebody like, hey, I need somebody to stand up here and give thanks, but these were people who were already doing it. This is where you remain. This is part of endurance. Or this would be when you appoint something to be done, it's something that we need to put attention on, right? We need to look after this area. So somebody's got to own that and be in charge of it. So here, there's a big dedication, and you know where it says the first thing they're going to appoint? We are going to appoint two great companies to give thanks. That's how much it was valued. In this party, we are going to appoint a selected group of people, and what you guys are going to do is you're going to give thanks, man. You are going to thank the Lord for all this. You are going to express gratitude, praise from how far you've come, and people say, yeah, but we got a long way to go. Hey, it's party time. Can we not talk about that Monday morning at the meeting? Geez, let's celebrate here, right? And so, I'm pointing this out here, that they appointed people for the music. They appointed people for the singing. And read the chapter. It's like 170 million times. You see singers and thanksgiving and all this. But check this out. In verse 44, he says this. And at that time, there were some appointed over the chambers. These are the rooms there for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities and portions of the law for the priests and for the Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. Now, the reason this is important is, well, let me skip the singers for now. Here's the point. They appointed two types of people. They appointed and says, hey, here's what you need to do. We need to appoint people for thanks. Thanksgiving. So, okay. If you in your life, you know there needs to be more celebration and more dedication. If you know that. If you know that in your Christian life, then here's what you needed to do. Appoint some people today that are filled with thanksgiving. Right? We are who we are around, right? You know, the Bible says that. If you want to be wise, get wise friends. If you want to be skinny, get skinny friends. They've proven that before. That usually when there's an obese friend, they have a friend that's also, it's easier to be obese, right? And get around people that work out. You know, that's going to help you is because that's the things you're going to talk about. So here he says, you know what we need to do? If we're going to celebrate correctly, here's what we're going to do. We're going to appoint some people for thanks. They're just going to praise the Lord all the time. So listen, I just want to encourage you. If you have a hard time in your life, if you tend to be a depressed individual, here's how I'd recommend you do just what they did here. They needed to dedicate and consecrate this wall. Appoint people in your life that can spot God at work, man. That can give him thanks and praise. The second thing, notice who they found people and they appointed people over the chambers for the treasure. The second area they appointed people for was money. So listen, here's what I think God is teaching in Nehemiah chapter 12. I think he's basically letting us know that, yeah, what we celebrate and what we should do right, if you want to be good at the celebration, if you want to keep this thing going and maintain your Christian life and vibrancy, then you need to appoint two types of people in your life. Some of you have nobody in your life. And sometimes Thanksgiving, if you're going to live in the nasty, sometimes people with Thanksgiving will get on your nerves, right? Because they're you know, and it's not that they're like necessarily all like jolly, but they're the people putting out the positive in your life, thanking God and praising because it's about his glory. This is what we do. So I would ask you, if I could just look at who you're spending time with, and then the second area they appointed was, this is all about offering, man. It's about what we're willing to give, and it would be money. It's true. I don't talk about money a lot, but the Bible's very clear on where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he says, I'm going to appoint some people for Thanksgiving. I'm going to appoint some people to collect all the tithes, the offerings, and put them in. We got to be responsible for this. Here's the shout out today is, be responsible with your time and be responsible for your money. Because I'll tell you what it is. If you got to punch in a clock at work and you got to show up at 6 o'clock, you don't get off till 3, right? Or whatever it is. All of us have jobs. You're there. But the problem is, it's the leftover time. What are you doing with that stuff? It's kind of like money. Well, I got a house payment. Well, maybe it's too big. Downsize your house. But I got a house payment. Yeah, and we had a vehicle breakdown. And now I got a vehicle payment. Power bill came in. The power came in times 3. Jeez. Now I got this to pay. Oh, I get it. We all got bills we're responsible for. What are you doing with the leftover money? What about that? What about your leftover time, your leftover money? Because that's really the key. I think that's the key, is what's left. Did you know God loves a cheerful giver? He loves it, he says that. God loves that. Well, that's what I want to be. Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord with what? What's it say? Substance. Your substance. Give him the first fruits of all of your increase. I like that. God's word, man. Now, some people spend money on stupid things, and other people put money in the bank. Because when they see that pile there, they can go, I'm sharp, I'm good, I got it together. I get it. I love that verse on the raven, because you got to watch the storehouses in the Bible. People want to work that thing, but the Bible says, you know the ravens? No storehouses, no barns, and I feed them. I feed them. So my point in saying, given that passage, is I'm not saying it's our job to stockpile. No, it's our job to offer for what God sees as valuable. We are a people that live and we dedicate, whether even our children, all these things, if you think about in the Bible, we dedicate to things. So what makes you happy? What are you willing to give for? What are you willing to play a song for? And so here it says, well, we appointed several groups of people. I think in our lives, let's appoint these things. Appoint some stewardship with what you're going to do with your funding. Make your funding count for eternity. That's the real key. The key is not having a little extra on the rainy day. That's not the key for the money in the Bible. You know, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with having a little on a rainy day. You know, I don't know. I like to spend money when the sun's shining too. You know, the whole point is my time and my money. I think that's why he says, this is what I'm going to appoint. So some of you, appoint these things in your life. Appoint some Thanksgiving. When you're around your table and the negativity starts, stop. What three things are you thankful for right now? Do it. Just do it. That's what we got to do. Three things. Name two things you're thankful for. Put it out there. It's important. And then our extra money. I think the money. He appointed people to deal with the money. So in our own lives, we got to do the same. Those two areas of our life. I'm going to end this message just kind of giving a little bit of a shout out to the people in the room that sing and play instruments. It says in Nehemiah chapter 12, if you look at verse 27, it says this. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing. And then it mentions cymbals and these psalteries and with harps. And so I just want to point out some things that he keeps mentioning singers and he keeps mentioning musical instruments here. And by the way, it's found in verse 28 through 29, verse 42, verse 45, verse 46, and verse 47. Them are just the verses that share about singers. There's also four other verses, and actually six times it mentions different instruments here. So music. I want to talk to you about music for a second. It's a big part of celebration. It's a big part here. And this is something I'm thankful to God. Through the years, we've had people come and go, and we've seemed to always seem that God would rise up a musician. You know why? Because it's important. It's important, our dedication. It's important in our celebration. So check this out. If you're reading here in this passage, let me give you five or so things for you singers in the room, for even, you know, Mike, Maria, Terry, Hodges. It says in verse 28, and the sons of the singers gathered themselves together. We got to value unity. We got to gather together, man. This is important so that the church can dedicate and consecrate what we need to for the Lord. It starts up here. So let's endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4. The next thing it mentions that they build villages around. So I like this. They're not just singers because, you know, sometimes people just think music's about emotion. Hey, emotion helps with music. It's weird because a lot of musicians are good at math. A lot of people that are math, they're nerdy. You know, like the emotion's out of it. You know, ain't that crazy? But it says they built these houses around the villages, and I like that. So we basically, like 1 Corinthians 3 says, that we got the foundation of Jesus. We have got to take heed how we build our lives. Because people are looking at us up here. And I want people to know that I'm not a perfect man, but I'm after it, man. I'm building my life upon a foundation. People need to see that in all of us, whoever comes up on this stage. My favorite verse here is verse 42, because it says, go to the very end so I don't have to read those words. And the singers sang loud with Jezariah, their overseer. I like this verse. Matter of fact, they sang so loud, verse 43 says, it was heard afar off. So another thing is, it encourages me because, you know, we're lacking people up here, so we're trying to always make it sound full. So Jeff allowed us to borrow his pedal. And Jeff's a musician. You just never know. We've hardly seen him do it. And he's got all these things. And so it makes it feel like, oh, my gosh, this acoustic guitar sounds like I'm playing an electric guitar. You know, it's just fantastic, you know. And I just love it. And, you know, I'm just like, hey, should I step on this pedal like at that spot? And everybody's just like, yes. Hey, when should I hit it? Always. You know, loud. Psalms 33:3 says, let's play skillfully for the Lord with a loud noise. Now notice, it says skillfully. And I want you to know something. People that don't know music, I've heard them, like, and I was an 80s guy, so 80s rock and roll, a lot of metal, you know. And, you know, and people would always say, can't even understand those words. All they're doing is screaming. You know, behind all that distortion, you know, that ain't talent. Try it. It really is. And some people would say that about like maybe like another genre, like rap music. I've heard people say that all the time, just like, that ain't talent, that ain't music. And you can't even write a poem. You let alone pull it off like that with a beat that has some real meaning that's grabbing somebody here. It don't always have to grab you there, right? Isn't that crazy? I just like how the Bible says, yeah, and these singers, it's the dedication of the house of God. This one's the dedication of all. Let's all get together. Oh, mighty fortress is on. They might have sang that song. But then when it ended, and it says, they were loud with it. Come on, and they were going after it, you know. I like David in the Bible. A lot of times people say drums shouldn't be in church, electric guitar shouldn't be in church. That was a big issue back in the 70s, 80s, even in the 90s a little bit. People, church music had to be about organs and had to be about hymns. All the hymns they chose were in a small period of time of history of about 100 to 200 years. And then when you go study their hymns, you'd find out that guy got that hymn because he went downtown by a tavern and they were playing a tune on the piano and he converted it into a Christian song. Oh, you don't like that? Oh, I like it with the hymn. I just don't like it when it comes to what we would consider more of a upbeat style of music. It's silly. People are absolutely silly. So I just want to encourage the musicians, play loud. Get loud. Yeah. Loud cymbals. The Bible says this is for the king. Can it be loud enough? Now, it does say skillfully. Nobody wants to be a part of some bad music, right? And it says they kept the charge of this. They kept the ward in verse 45, meaning that they stayed after it. They knew. Basically, you're gifted music, do it. You're gifted music, do it. That's something that, you know, I would always say, like, you know, Terry, man, you are a fantastic drummer. A great drummer. Maybe the best drummer. Now, he'll compare it to drummers that he probably knows. He'd say, oh, no, no, I'm dead serious. Like, then guess what Terry needs to do here? I think Terry needs to teach Sunday school. Well, he probably can. He's been going over there actually a lot here lately, helping his wife out in class. He's doing that. But let me tell you what he really needs to do here. The ward that God's given him, the responsibility that God's granted him. Play drums, man. Keep this thing on the rails, right? Hit them hard for us. Make them loud. He mentions David in history. King David had chief of singers. At the end, you know, the people that were responsible for the music, they collected rewards. And that's what they really reward these guys, is what it says at the end of here. Because there were certain people that, like, they took a lot of time. And let me tell you, nobody, you know, Sunday school teachers, I know what you guys do. You look at your lessons. Sometimes it happens on Saturday night, but not all the time. We're all crammed now and then, right? But even up here, people are like, man, that was a great song. Well, it wasn't a great song 3 weeks ago. We were fighting up here, man, meeting for an hour and a half, and it just left kind of discouraged. It wasn't good. We met back the week before, did it again and did it again. And so, you know, we're on Wednesday night playing for an hour and a half. Brian comes in to run sound back there, and half the time he's bored out of his mind. He's got the high score on Candy Crush, I'm sure, or whatever he's playing back there, you know. But then we come in Sunday morning. So Sunday morning, everybody's like, man, 9 o'clock's early. Early? We've been here for a couple hours. We practice it again. And so I guess I just want to put a shout out. This dedication, this thanksgiving that went up to the Lord, you know what happened? Isn't it so much easier to do it when somebody can do it? It's like singing. Singing's easier when you recite somebody that can sing. You know? It's beautiful then. And I feel like I can't, but I'm like, some people say, I can't really sing on tune, but when I get beside her, I'm all right, because I follow. That's what you do. You just jump in next to this gal. Thank God for those people. And we see here these singers, they made this, they were... Matter of fact, it says in chapter 11 that they were in charge of the business of the house of God. And so you know where the preaching starts? It starts with 1, 2, 3, 4, bow! It starts. It starts with open up the heavens. We're not singing, preparing our hearts for this message. We're singing the message. It's the Bible. That's what the New Testament says about it. So the message begins here. It's a group message. That's how it goes, right? So we need to be very thankful. God, I want to thank you right now from the bottom of my heart for all these years, man, for all these years of putting the right people in place that, you know, and I remember, I always thought, you know, Maria sang with us a little bit, then she got married and her mic moved away. I was just like, what are we going to do? We sang. And God would bring people up. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. We've lost musicians through time for whatever reasons. I'm just like, boy, this is going to be terrible. It's not terrible. God says, this is for me. And every offering we bring, we just bring it. And what I like about the word loud, don't think so much maybe of volume. Think of massiveness. Think of largeness. That's how we bring it. It don't mean that people have to go, oh my gosh, my ears hurt. No, but it's got to be big. If you don't go big, then what? You're going to play the game anyways. Why do you want to lose at the thing? Go crazy on this thing. So I wanted to point that out in Nehemiah chapter 12. There's several things that stick out, but one is this dedication and celebration. Church, let's celebrate more. Let's celebrate about the walls and the victories in each other's lives. Let's do that. A point. To celebrate better, I think let's appoint people. Let's make sure that we got people in our lives that it don't mean that you have to be the best in any certain area, but make sure there's people here appointed for Thanksgiving, and there's people that were appointed for the money. And both of those things are important to have in our lives, I think, to keep us right where we need to be, celebrating the things that God wants us to celebrate, right? To dedicate, man, our lives and to be consecrated up to Him, right? And so that's another thing we learned. Another thing, don't remember the maintenance part of this. The wall is going to need maintained. So parents, train up a child in the way it should go. That was beautiful. Same word. Train it up, man. That's what we do. Lift it up. And then just to end this thing with talking about the two biggest words in this chapter that appear the most, thanks and singing. Those two things. But all the instruments mentioned, let's be grateful, church, for a church that has music. A lot of churches suffer in this department. Some of our friends that have churches, we go to their churches and we're always like, boy, their music's rough. Yeah, God's been good to us. And we value it. Anybody that has that kind of talent, man, get after it. Let's do it. Let's put it up there. Let's have all kinds of crazy music going on. All for what? The celebration. Why do we want to do that? Because we value. We value the things of God. Right? So, that's all she wrote. You ready to pray? Okay.